Well, let's pray. Lord, we just ask you to speak, and we're all ears. But Father, if you don't open our ears and if you don't open our hearts, then we can't further understand beyond what we have the ability to understand. But you, God, have this ability to cause us to see and to have clarity and insight and revelation. So, Father, we ask for those things, that Lord, we would come into line with your wisdom, Father. And we just love you. We ask for transformation, and we ask that you challenge us and that you grow us, mature us, purify us, and make us more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I have this sermon here, but I also have this sense as of, you know, this morning, that we should cover the guidelines for church meetings. Now, it's just going to be a conversation, okay? I honestly doubt I'm going to get to the sermon. I've had this slide in our deck for Ethan four or five weeks now, and just skip it. And I felt like the Holy Spirit impressed me, like, today's the day, use it, all right? Because there's times, like, the Lord will share something, and it's okay not to use it, right? And to sit on it and let it marinate. And we'll get to that in a second. But I'm going to be pulling scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I don't have any slides for it, so we're just going to have to use your good old-fashioned Bible work, okay? And this is a chapter that comes right after 1 Corinthians 13. Isn't that cool how that works? 14 comes after 13. And when we think about that, do we understand what 1 Corinthians 13 is? For all you Bible trivia people. The love chapter, right? It talks about how love suffers long and is kind, and it's not, right? You'd love to hear the love chapter? Well, we're not there. I mean, I felt like the Lord said no. He said 14. and we're talking about church. Now, you guys, we had this discussion like a couple weeks ago, and so now we're in like open town hall meeting here in the church, and I just, you know, let's go for it. Ready? So at the top of my notes for the past at least 10 years, okay, I have printed this, what we're about to talk about, every sermon for 10 years or more, okay? And do you see the section that's yellow? It sits there the whole time to remind me, because it's easy to get detracted and think about, like, if you were to read your Bible and you lived on a deserted island and you'd never seen church before, right? And you had this Bible and that's it. And you read your Bible every day for years, and then you got picked up and rescued and brought to America, brought to Amherst, New Hampshire, right? And you started visiting churches, local churches. Would the local churches look like what you expected it to look like solely by reading your Bible with no other outside influence? No, not necessarily, right? I mean, And we try to figure out what should church look like, right? And over the years, what we've seen is migrations from church, and some of that's okay. I mean, things adapt, and what I'm not talking about, like, the message. Like, the message of the gospel never changes. So that's not even open for debate. It doesn't change. The supremacy of Christ doesn't change, right? But what kinds of things did we begin to see? Like, we saw roughly 300 years after Jesus, we began to see this thing right here just start to appear. And great orators began to step in and deliver sermons, and people started listening to these orators. I mean, these are people who are well trained in the delivery, and they were kind of entertaining, right? I mean, talk about a generation that had no television, no Netflix, no internet, right? And to go to this church service and hear this, let's call him a hero of sorts, step up and deliver this awesome discussion was really cool. And people were like, give me more of that, right? And then over time, what began to happen is the church began to shape itself kind of like what you see, where the chairs are all facing this direction and one person is speaking this direction. And what this reminds me of, okay, and I'm not bashing, I'm just We're just talking about drift here, right? But what this reminds me of as I sit here looking at the model now is more of a classroom university style. Professor, in this case, I get to be professor, speaks, and you are here to check a box and get a grade. Learn some information and go home. And, right? And the risk of that, the biggest risk of that kind of mentality, if you think of it that way, is that you know, if you're like me, when I was going to college, I didn't talk to anybody. Within reason, it was not my goal to socialize. My goal was to get a degree and get out of there. And everybody my age, well, they were doing stuff I didn't want to do. And so I just kind of like, you know, blew right by them. And I didn't get to know anybody around me. And besides, what was the point? Because within the next 12 weeks, I wasn't going to know them, and they were going to be gone, and I'd meet someone, you know, a whole other route, right? And so university-style thinking is don't really talk to the people, don't get to know the people. They're here today, gone tomorrow, right? And so a church that was once a living room suddenly became, I don't really need to know these people. I don't need to be open. I don't need to be intimate. I don't need to share my weaknesses. I don't need to ask for prayer. I don't need to show where, you know, I'm struggling. I don't need to be real, because what does it matter? I'm building a case here, okay? All right. And then, imagine the church didn't look like the way it looks, right? Imagine, and I don't know how to do this. I'm not proposing. Everybody get up, pick up your chairs, and let's make a giant circle, right? I'm not proposing that, but what I'm trying to say is, like, where did the church drift, the capital C church, from the original model that these guys were seeing in, say, Acts and in the epistles, all the scriptures, right, versus what we see today in the capital C church at large in Amherst, USA, right? Are you okay? You're like, where are we going? Well, here's where we're going. Could you imagine a world where, as you were going to church, it was more of a living room style where people really did intimately know each other, people really did have honest struggles and were open about them, and, you know, you might be going there, and the first thing is it probably cost you something. Like, there was a chance of persecution, chance of loss of life. So showing up was precious. It wasn't like, oh, I don't feel like going today. Right? So first of all, it cost you something, so you were dang serious about it. And when the guy next to you had smelly feet, you didn't care, right? If he talked too much, you didn't care, because that guy was risking his life to be there too. And so we are in this foxhole together, and it's not about what I like or don't like about you. This is about us doing this thing together, and we love each other, and we will support each other to the end, right? And now fast forward a couple, 1900 years, and it's more about convenience. It's more about, wow, maybe I can just like watch from YouTube if I, you know, don't feel like getting out of bed, right? How the thing has twisted. All right, so I'm just gonna keep talking, babbling, and I'm on a roll. So then as people were coming to that house, and because it cost them something, they were praying, God, let me make the most of it. What if this is my last one? Really? I mean, what if this is my last service? I want this one to be the one, right? Use me today, Holy Spirit, use me. You see where I'm going? I don't want to come sit. I'm just a regular old guy going to church, okay, in this persona. And I'm coming to church, and it might be my last one, and it's costing me a lot to be here, my life here, potentially. So God, when I see someone hurting, I want you to highlight them, and I want you to show me, and I want you to fill me with the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God and an encouragement, and maybe it's a smile and a handshake or a hug, or maybe it's like a word from the Lord or something, but I want you to pour yourself into me so that I can pour myself out into this body of believers, because this is uncertain times, right? And how has that gone away? How has that gone away? And instead we've traded it for let's get in the car and let's bicker with each other. You know what I mean? This isn't meant to be conviction, but it might be. And yelling, and the kids are mad, and they're, you know, got to get dressed up. Why the heck are we getting dressed up? And getting so mad about it, you know? It's all of us, right? It's if you're a parent, right? I didn't understand it as a kid. I used to say when I was a little boy, how come the prettier my mom tries to get, the meaner she gets? And it was because of me. I was not always lining up with the agenda and the plan of the morning, right? But you see what I'm saying? So the pursuit to belong to the body and to be a ministry to the body, to offer ourselves wholeheartedly that morning, like, God, I'm offering something, was replaced over 1900 years with, come fill me. I'm here, I'm sitting in my chair, and it's all about you, Jesus, putting food in my mouth, or else I might not make it through next Tuesday. You see where the maturity drifted, right? Okay, and that's not all you guys. You guys are not that way. Of course not, right? Okay. So after the love chapter, Paul just naturally, after defining all the, you know, like, what would you talk about after you defined what is love? What's the next thing you'd talk about? Like, based on that springboard of the definition of love, what would you talk about? He chose, or was led by the Spirit, to talk about church. That's pretty cool, right? Because as we all begin to move in our callings, our giftings, our, even in some of those ways, places where we're just like, we see a need, we try to fill it, and we're not very good at it, right? And there's people with apprehension, and there's people who have trauma and PTSD, and all the, and we just want to go, you know, we want to just approach them, and we don't. And now we just gave them the creeps, and you know what I mean? Like, there's all these weird social dynamics, and there's, you know, and it's awkward, right? And so the whole love discussion was the perfect springboard to talk about church. And in that, starting 1 Corinthians 14, I want to read verse 26. And if you have your Bible, great. And if not, I'll read it to you, and I'll try not to trip all over my language here as I read. But Paul said, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize what I'm saying. When you meet, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given, one will speak in another language, while another will interpret what is being said. But everything that is done must be useful to all to build them all up in the Lord. And so the reminder, and this is, you know, point number one that has been on my notes for 10 years to remind me, is that we're supposed to have everybody in some way contributing as led of the Lord, assuming that it is done to strengthen everybody and not just a few, right? That we're trying to build up this community, and so we don't want to waste even 30 seconds just babbling about something not pertinent. But man, if there's a feeling burning in your heart, you know that feeling that happens when you say, I'm not saying that, God? That's the Holy Spirit trying to say, that's the thing, that's, and make sure, just, that's filter number one. Is it being done in a way that is going to strengthen all of you and not just one, two, or a few? Right? Okay. For some of you, you felt that leading and you did the whole thing, God, I'm not saying that, and the time passed and you didn't share, and you felt like we talk about, you felt like you missed the moment. I feel like I missed the moment. Sometimes I kick myself because I missed the moment. It's okay. Same Holy Spirit can bring things back around. The good news is we're on a series, right? As a church, we're on a series. So generally speaking, we're on a track. And if you missed something last week, you could probably come back next week. Maybe run it by me if you feel like I wasn't sure. So, you know, some people do that and they're like, I wasn't sure, so I didn't share, but this is what I felt. And I'm like, that was perfect. Yes, you have to do it this week, right? So some of you, when you see someone sharing, it's because they already vetted it with me, and they ask, you know, and that's fine. That's how you build confidence in knowing that you're hearing from the Holy Spirit. Yes? Cool. Sometimes I miss it. And then, you know, I have to wait for the Lord to come back around. I've put this slide in the deck for 4 weeks now and didn't do it because I just couldn't feel that sense, like, but now I feel the sense. This is it. You know, when I got to church this morning, it's like, that's it. But everything has to be done to strengthen all of you, okay? Now, with that being said, I do want to remind you that there are times where, you know, Jesus, in his persona as the shepherd, he leaves the 99, he goes after the one. So there are these moments in church where we might all find ourselves praying for the one couple, the one family. And that's okay too, you know, because things in that ministry moment, just so you know, well, first of all, we're all for each other, right? But also things in that ministry moment that are spoken can also be a ministry to you. So, you know, we might have like a prophetic thing spoken over that family, and you can go ahead and receive that. You're like, show me how that can happen. Well, we do it all the time. Think about it like this way. You know, my personal Bible verse since I was a teenager was Jeremiah 29:11. How many of you, who else in the room, Jeremiah 29:11 is your verse? Like God gave that to you and you know it's yours. Nobody else? Oh, yeah, Kathy, okay. So Kathy, you can't have that verse, it's my verse, right? It's her verse, right? And so we do that all the time. Like there are things that are spoken and we're like, that is for me. That was for them too, but that's for me. And you grab it and it's okay. It's like the same Holy Spirit that says, you know, Peter, I love you and I just want you to know that. And I'm not, you know, ashamed of you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I have a purpose for you. And every time you press into me, I am delighted by that. And every time you speak out of your heart, I'm pleased, right? And if you heard that over there, that's for you too, because the same God loves his children and he speaks, right? This is not heresy or blasphemy. This is just like Christian 101. He doesn't waste his voice. His voice accomplishes, right? His word accomplishes that to which it is being sent. And so grab a hold of things in ministry moments if we do happen to divert for a few minutes and just pray for one. You take that. If there's a healing going on, then you take that because the God of healing is here, right? And so while Jesus was ministering to one person, there were other people who were healed. Like there's even scriptures that said anybody who could just reach over and touch him were instantly healed, right? So if Jesus is in the room and he's healing one person, then you go grab a hold of him, of the Jesus that is healing, because that's who he is. You know what I mean? Yes. Okay.
The Lord just...
Hello?
There it is.
The word urgency, and I have a picture of 1988. I was in Medjugorje, Yugoslavia, on a pilgrimage, and we had church every day in a communist country. Mm-hmm. And what you spoke of, I just recall believing it was like being in Acts. The urgency that we had because we didn't know if we would get shot.
Sure.
We would get killed. And that word urgency is for us.
Yeah. So you woke up and you took your ministry moment seriously, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. We'll keep on reading here. Verse 29 to 31. So it says, let two or three prophesy. Can you say two or three?
Two or three.
Wow, that's a lot. And let the others evaluate what is said. Can you say, I'm going to evaluate? You are given permission to evaluate and to say, I didn't like that. You're also given permission to say, I evaluate that and that resonates with me. Right? Or to say, that was scriptural. Or to say, oh my gosh, I found five scriptures that disagree with that person. It's all in your court to evaluate and to learn from that experience. You know, the best thing you might learn is not to open your mouth and say that. Right? And that's okay too. Don't be offended. Don't be offended by people learning to walk. Just, right? Baby learns to walk. Come here. The baby falls on his face. You don't be like, what's wrong with you? Right? What's wrong with you? Just be like, okay, well, we understand where their maturity is. We love her. Come on. Let me help you. Back up. Try again. Right? Okay. Now, that emphasizes, well, let me just keep rolling. If someone is prophesying and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who's speaking must stop. So nobody is full of themselves and nobody feels they have anything better than another person, right? And if me being the shepherd in the moment, the ringleader of the circus, if you will, you know, need to draw attention, you know, to the elephants and away from the clowns, then please don't be offended if we have to do that, right? It's just playing traffic cop the best we can and making mistakes too, and don't be offended, right? But at the same time, man, everything is, if the heart of every person who would dare open their mouth in church was, I want to bless everybody in the room, and Holy Spirit, I want it to be from you and not from me, then we would say, wow, that could be a really cool place. Right? Okay. So that everyone will learn to be encouraged. So this says, in this way, all who prophesy have a turn to speak one after the other so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. And that is the goal. Everybody to learn, everybody to be encouraged, nobody to walk out feeling like they didn't learn, nobody walking out feeling like they weren't encouraged. Know what I mean? And when all else fails, love is patient, love is gentle, love is kind. It's not puffed up. It doesn't seek its own. Boom, right? You just feel the impact of 1 Corinthians, don't you? I do. Another point as we read in verse 32 through 35, remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and they can wait their turn. So you know what? If you're like, and we're like, hey, we're not calling on you right now. Again, it's not an insult. It's not an insult. It's just you're in control of yourself and, right? Also, what's really cool, and I've seen this happen lots, and it's happened even to me, where I was having one of those moments, like I felt like the Holy Spirit was going to share something, and I waited my turn, right? And I never got my turn, but then someone else shared, and it was the exact same thing that I was about to say, and it just confirmed to me that I heard God, but it also told that person had confidence because they delivered it. It wasn't like the same, you know, five people who always speak in church. You know what I mean? So this is another important piece, is that sometimes by controlling ourselves and not saying something, this is giving someone else a chance to build them up. And if it never comes around and you feel led of the Lord, then go ahead and say it. But sometimes the Lord's just showing things to us and it's really not meant to share. Weird, huh? Like the Lord might actually show you something in church that you're not supposed to share. So I would actually ask you, if you feel like the Holy Spirit spoke something, that you always ask him, is that for me or is that for us? Sometimes he's like, it's just for you. You know, I just put that there just so you know, you're aware of it. You can pray for it. Maybe you can touch base with that person this week. Just call them, ask them if they want lunch, coffee, or, you know, and It's meant to be a dynamic discussion and not a take this moment or else I'm going to explode kind of discussion. Make sense? This is starting to feel like a living, breathing body and not so much like the university that the church has grown to become, right? All right, just unlocking the mystery here. I hope you're all cool with this. Then as we move into, did I finish verse 31? I think I did. Yes, I did. Then as we move into verse 32 to 35, we said people are in control of themselves, right? Keep going, verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the other churches. So he's got this system where churches are everywhere being fragmented. In a sense, we could say that's negative because they're all bickering about what they believe and they all think they're right. But you could also say it's positive because in the separate bodies, everybody's got a chance. You know what I mean? Like if every Christian in Amherst and Milford and Merrimack and that we're all belong to one place, then you'd hardly get a chance to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside of you, right? And so what he's trying to say is we can communicate in a way that is not out of order, and it's because God is a God of peace, and so when we speak, it actually doesn't trouble and shake people. It actually brings peace into the moment. Yeah? All right. For all the shy people, you're like, oh, I'd never do that. Well, just ask. And for all you excited people who love attention, you're like, yeah, maybe don't talk. right? Follow the Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit's going to, he's going to shape and model and mold, and, you know, and some of us just need to say less and some of us need to say more. Don't be afraid to let something, don't be afraid to let something marinate, okay? If you were like, I'm not sure if this is God, the worst thing you can do is raise your hand, take the mic and say, I'm not sure if this is God, but I'm going to go. I mean, just ask him, is this you or not? Right? And if it's not, then we don't really want to hear it. I mean, we love you, but you could say it afterwards over coffee in the other room, right? Grab five people, pull them all together. Hey, you know what I was thinking today? I was thinking this. Well, I should have been listening to the service. I was actually thinking about this. And they're like, cool, you know? No harm, no foul. Everybody's happy, right? Yeah, don't say I'm not sure if this fits in. Just don't say it at all, or say it if it's right. So now here's another point, and I hear this a lot, okay? I do, I hear this a lot. Some people come to church to hear one person speak, okay? Some people come to hear one person speak, and that's not wrong. Some people are better having one conversation with one person, right, than others who are more group-led, and that's So as we come together and as we're like, Holy Spirit, should I be speaking? Also be sensitive to the fact that there are people who are like coming to church saying, oh, I hope this doesn't break out into five different conversations because my anxiety goes up, right? It's okay. It's okay that some of us are that way. Some people want to see a well-developed, well-studied sermon, right? Like, did you know the average pastor, according to the last stat I saw, spent 20 hours prepping for a sermon? So if you work a 40-hour week, cut that in half, and half goes to sermon development, the other half goes to doing your pastorly duties, right? Like sitting by the phone waiting for it to ring, playing Call of Duty. No? Okay, I just, okay. I know, I'm snarky. I don't mean to be. And that's okay. And there are those people, and there are those ministries where I do believe that people go and they listen to the guy who has practiced and developed this sermon for, you know, 20 hours, and that their lives can be changed. I do believe in that. I do. But the vision of River has been the Ephesians 4 scripture. Hopefully, we're interpreting it correctly. It says that we all come in, like he makes the whole body fit together so that each part is doing its special work, right? So if I were to spend 20 hours and just insist that nobody have any input into the service because I studied and you didn't, I've just undermined the Ephesians 4 directive of every part is doing its special work, right? And what I've done is I've limited you to say you can only serve as long as it's maybe in a classroom or use your gift if you're, you know, back there with the techies or up here with the music. Everybody else, you're kind of, I don't know how you fit into Ephesians 4, but shut up, right? You can joke as long as it's, you know, for everybody. Here's a fact, okay? Here's a fact, it comes from my heart. I would rather not preach a sermon, okay? I'm not telling you I want to not preach because that's why I'm here, right? But I would rather not preach a sermon and receive the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do in the room, than to preach, get all my notes out, and miss the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Right? Because I could probably count on one hand the number of people whose lives were miraculously changed by my sermons. And I've been doing this a while. But I've seen countless thousands of people transformed, changed, healed, delivered in a moment in a service, and no one was preaching anything. know what I mean? And so, you know, if all else fails, well, let's do the do. Let's preach the sermon. But you know what? If the Holy Spirit's moving, man, I'm not going to bowl over that. So please know that I'm honoring you. Like, I actually felt like, I said it earlier in the service, but I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to remind you that you are powerful people. And to see yourself as powerful people, when you come to church, you are solution providers. And it's not because you're awesome, but it's because you have the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling inside of you. And that same source of power is in you. And the same part that Jesus had when he said, I only say what the Father says, I only do what the Father does, is the model for us to step into the greatness of who he is and to do and say, in this room, in that room, outside in the streets, right? What he's saying and what he's doing. And for that, man, I would gladly put these pieces of paper on hold for another week. You know what I mean? All you did was saving me another week of studying. That's about as offensive as it gets to me. You cool? All right. Now, here's a great question. I get some porcupines every once in a while who are like, well, who decides if what was being shared really is from the Holy Spirit or not? And then comes the eyebrow, is it you? Talking to me, right? Is it you? Who, right? The arrogance of the one. Well, put yourself in my position, or Chris's position, or Paul's position, or Adam's position, Monique's position. We're shepherding a body, and the pressure to make sure that what is being said applies to everybody, right? And we love you all, and we want to make sure that it's sound, right? And so, yeah, we have to. And guess what? We might make a mistake every once in a while. Right? We might actually change the direction of someone in a service, and we might be wrong. At least by being wrong, we did it with the intention of love. We truly did. Or we might be right on, and you might, you know, don't clap. If we have to, like, change a direction, don't be like, oh, yeah, thank you for shutting that down. But we're shepherds, right? And as shepherds, we have to decide, like, where are we going? Where are we going? And we're trying to follow the Lord, right? And so just trust that our goal is for the whole and not to just shut down one. Yeah. And then think about all the times you've seen me shut down people. It's usually more diversionary, like, exactly. But what I was actually saying was, back on track, right? Let's see. What do you guys think as you begin to hear this, as you begin to imagine what a church would look like? Can you imagine yourself, instead of bickering as you're coming in the car, or instead of maybe talking about, you know, what the rest of your day is going to look like as you're coming, you're actually honing in on Holy Spirit. I'm opening myself up to you. I'm laying aside all my stuff today. I'm just leaving that at the cross right now in the car before I ever get to church, before I ever ask, like, the rest of the people, you know, fill me because I'm hurting. But Lord, I'm putting that to the side. I'm giving that to you, Holy Spirit, because I want you to fill me in this moment for the purpose of blessing and ministering and healing and helping. And, you know, I just want to release nothing but you. I don't want to release any of my junk on someone else. They've got their own junk to deal with. I want to release the purity of who you are. So I set myself, I consecrate myself, I set myself apart for your special use today. It's cool, right? How many of you feel excited about that kind of a challenge? Yeah, I do. I'd love to see it. And it doesn't always mean taking the mic, just so you know. Right? That could be just noticing, like, across the room, the Lord highlights somebody, and you're like, I got to talk to that person after. And so you just stayed a little later than you normally would have. You didn't just, like, beeline out of here, right? Just to love on somebody. right? I believe that would be more, and you guys are good, so please don't think this is me saying, you don't do this, but you do do this, but that seems to be, as we do that more, as we consecrate ourselves for his purpose, when we come together as a body, it just seems like more of the church that I see here and less of what I see on the earth today. You know what I mean? Yeah, this morning, I'll say it because I think it's a good example for you, okay? I got here nice and early like I do, and I'm just praying, and I realized something came up, a frustration I was feeling, and I believe I was putting that on the Lord, not like giving it to him, putting it on him. So transferring my frustration, now I'm frustrated to him. Is this okay? I'm talking about me a lot. I don't do this normally, but I'm doing it. So I'm feeling frustrated at the Lord, okay? And I don't want to bring that here. You don't deserve that, right? And so I begin to lay that down to him, and I'm like, God, you have to come and just like fix this, because my heart is wrong right this second. I'm busy, right? And begin to flip through scriptures, and I just felt him say, okay, we're going to stop on Psalms 42, and we're just going to start reading. Psalms 42 is that, why so discouraged, O my soul, right? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, right? And I just kept reading, and I kept handing him over that frustration, and I kept reading until, what is it, like chapter 46, I think, where he's like, you will be still and know that I'm God. Basically, quiet yourself, right? And just felt like as I pressed into that, where I could have been more about like, I have other duties, you know, because we got all these things that have to have. Well, you know what? The most important right thing right now is laying myself down so that I'm not transferring this garbage on anybody else, even that much, right? I'm only telling you my vulnerability here because I want you to do this. You know what I mean? At home. Like, get up and like, I would rather see you not put your makeup on if it meant that you show up beautiful inside. I hope that makes sense. You know, don't shower if it means getting the heart right. There's still room you can sit away from people. It's the laying down before you show up. The alternative is I come in and song number 3 or 4 in the worship set is me arguing with myself and trying to get out of my own way. And then by song number 5, it's like I'm finally in, and then it's over. You laugh because it's a struggle. It's real, right? Yeah. It's real. Yeah. And I don't want you to waste one moment in God's presence in laying down your carnal self. Surrender, first thing, surrender, you know? First thing. And I'm just going to tip my review back to last week, which was, we are not run by shame. And so nothing I say here, do I want it to drive you in shame. God is not a God of shame, and shame has never driven you to be your better self. Right? And so he doesn't deal in shame. He doesn't speak in shame. He speaks in love and empowerment and encouragement and conviction, and all those things drive us to run to him and not the opposite way. Amen? Yeah. Thank you, God. Well, I just done blown my sermon. I did.
It is, by the way, Christian 101.
It is Christian 101. What?
The road, 101.
Oh, 101, yes. Christian 101. You know, I congratulate you for holding that for as long as you did. We love you, Ricky. I dumped a lot, and I just sort of shot from the hip today. Because I really felt like he was saying this morning that we were supposed to just cover that. Because you know what's going to happen? It's like building a lasagna. As we begin to lay down that self and position ourselves to receive from him, then he is faithful and he pours more on, and he's going to put more meat on, okay, on the lasagna.
Thank you.
You hear me?
Hungry.
Yes. And then we're going to lay ourselves flat again and just lay more of ourselves down. And then he's faithful and he's going to put more meat on. And so I'm asking you to position yourself to receive more of him, more from him, and more through him. And just be ready to, I mean, like, really come. And when you like, look for opportunities to pray with people and really expect, like, the Lord's going to answer your prayer before you finish. Before you say amen, he is going to answer your prayer. That's described in Isaiah. I'll pull that out later. I don't want to, like, sidetrack on that, but I'm talking about, like, coming for the purpose of being a living, breathing body where God can just pour more of himself, you know? We pray for revival. Do you pray for revival?
Yes.
Okay, are you willing to position yourself for revival?
Yes.
Cool. Yay. Then I'd like to stick around with you guys. All right, we're going to need a lot of grace, aren't we? A lot of grace. Yes, Kathy. Speaking of grace, let me hand the mic to my mother-in-law.
That definitely takes a lot of grace. I was thinking when you talked about the gifts and everybody coming prepared and being ready to receive, but also to give a word if the Lord has put something on your heart. And I remember, I'm not sure if it was you or your brother, to be honest, but I remember when I first came to a church that operated in all of the gifts that God wants to give us, I remember being a little standoff. I was extremely standoffish, to tell the truth. And but the thing that, I'm not sure if it was you or your brother, and it's driving me crazy, but it doesn't really matter because the message is good.
If it was good, it and was mine.
It was good. And they said, you know, to way to test the spirit is, you know, if you hear a word and you're not sure whether it's for you or not, just trust God and chew the meat and spit out the bones. Mm-hmm. Because God is faithful. Even if you make a mistake, I'm sure that there'll be somebody in the room that even if only one little sentence made any sense to them, they can take the rest and, you know, just put it away. Because we're not perfect. Only God is. But he can give a perfect word to the person who needs it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And remember, when I've begun to teach you guys to bring your journals, just because that series is over, don't stop bringing your journals. But write something. If you feel like God shared, write it down so you don't forget, you don't feel like it's burning a hole in your mouth. And then, you know, sit on it and marinate it. And God can actually bring that thing back around as well, you know, and there will be a time for that meat to come off the bone and be shared, all right? So please, if you sense something and you're not going to, just put it down. Amen? Amen. All right, well, I'm going to start with the prayer, and if anybody feels led to join, I'll have a mic here. But Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you for speaking today, and I want to thank you for laying down some good old-fashioned scriptural guidelines and open dialogue for us. Lord, we want to be the church that you've created us to be and not the church that we have created or want to be. Lord, there's no part of us in our heart that wants to develop and shape and mold this thing after our own image. God, we want it to be yours. We're your body, Jesus, and so when people look at us, we want them to see Jesus. Lord, for some of us, when we began to talk, we felt really excited, and God, I just ask that you'll breathe life and excitement, and Holy Spirit, pour yourself out on those desires to be more engaged somehow in the body. I pray, Father, you'll just pour gas on that fire, and Lord, you just will not stop developing a body, Father, who knows how to do its special work, each part, Father. For some, Lord, we might have had a little bit of confusion or fear, or we thought, man, is this going to be a circus? What is this? Lord, I just ask that you'll come and visit with peace. And God, that you'll shepherd us in the direction that we should go. Lord, this is not something meant to be a debate as much as it was just meant to open our hearts to become something that we maybe hadn't considered before. And so, God, I pray that as we come together and as we do these things, Lord, let us come with the heart of love, that 1 Corinthians love, God, to really support and to pull out the best, God. And Father, I think the last thing I feel is that sense that I was supposed to remind us that we're powerful people in you. And Lord, some of us, I just sense that there's a piece that wants to resist that. Lord, whether that be shame or whether that be disbelief, or we're rolling our eyes and we're saying, that's what everybody says. That's what people say when they're really not powerful. God, I just pray that you will remind us who we are carrying on the inside. Give us fresh insight. What does it mean to be a vessel of honor? What does it mean to be a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? And I ask, God, that you will just fall upon that resistance, that shame, to step into the fullness of what you've created us to be. You will silence all the oppositional voices, the accusations, the disdain, the self-hatred, God. And we will not look back at the things that hurt us and try to define us. We will only look forward because we are who you say we are. Let us become a healthy, mature, capable, and loving body, I pray. Thank you, God. I'm looking around to see, did anybody have something for this moment from the Holy Spirit to add to this prayer time?
I was waiting to see if somebody else was going to say it, I promise. You know, thinking about the past 1900 years of what church looked like or looks like or has looked like, there's nobody in this room that isn't powerful. We all have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And I think our faith walk over the past 1900 years, we've given it over to man. And we come every week expectant that our quote unquote pastor is going to drag that Holy Spirit out of us. And you do a great job, don't get me wrong. But boy, do we cheapen the Holy Spirit that lives within us when we do that. And we get ready every Sunday morning, and we go to church, and we expect man to fan the flame of that Holy Spirit, and we're so reluctant. And then at the end of service, boy, I'm disappointed in my pastor. I'm disappointed in church. I'm disappointed in God. Because we've put man to task with feeding us our faith. We're all very, very, very powerful people. The Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in each one of you as well. And when we come to church on Sunday, or we go to work on Monday or Tuesday, or wherever we go, the grocery store or restaurant, wherever we go, that Holy Spirit, if it's not radiating light without out of us, if there's not light, there's only one other thing, and it's the opposite of light. So we get to choose, and we shouldn't put man to task with dragging that Holy Spirit out of us every Sunday. and then blame him for being disappointed that I didn't have a God encounter. So I pray, Lord, that you just adjust our hearts, that you open our minds, and then instead of waiting to become enlightened by the end of a service, that when we wake up, not only Sunday morning, but every morning, we're ready for the Holy Spirit that lives within us just to explode light everywhere we go. We're not going to get it right every time. We understand that, Lord. And thank you so much for your grace and your new mercies for us every day. But if we're not living in light, there's only one other place where we can be living. And we can't put that responsibility on somebody else to fan that flame. We have all the power in the world to do that. And thank you for that, God. We love you.
Amen. Amen.
As Adam was speaking, Lord was just speaking to me about how a lot of us define who we are by our pastors, by our churches, by our family, our friends, and things that have been done to us. And that we're being disobedient by doing that. Obedience comes by living how he wanted us to live, and that's the word that he has given us, the Bible, the book of life. And he tells us, obedience. I define who you are, not man, not you. I am in control. And it's about giving it all over to him. Unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment towards someone doesn't define who you are. God does. And we're being disobedient when we do not offer forgiveness, when we don't let go of the bitterness and the resentment. Was it all for nothing at the cross? And he just reminds me all the time when I have that unforgiveness or bitterness that comes in, he says, was it all for nothing? I define who you are. Allow me. Come to me. And it's about the obedience, the humbleness and the obedience. And I just keep hearing that over and over. Be obedient to me. Obedience brings healing in every area of your life.
We did briefly speak of 1 Corinthians 13, which is love, but the Lord also tells us to love our neighbor. And there are those times when the question may come up, is that just words that I hear and it goes out of my mind, or do I take it as a command? And the question it brings today and many days is, have I told those closest to me that I love them? Am I practiced in showing love first to my own family? And am I practiced in telling someone that Jesus loves you? For some, that may be difficult to say. And yet, we have a Savior that said he loved us. And my heart tells me that it's our command and our duty in obedience to let people know that they are loved by Jesus Christ. And that in that, our hearts and our spirits would be opened up to have the sensitivity to see that one who has a need for a hug or a word of a love expressed from Jesus Christ. So Lord, may we go out of here this day, not only expressing our love in action, but in word and in deed. So Lord, cover every family here today, that their houses, their homes, may be filled with love and prayer and countenance for one another. Bless each and every one, Lord. Bless them beyond anything they could have imagined. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Father, we just thank you again for speaking to us, and I pray that you go with us, and may we carry this fire throughout the week, God. May we speak as Jesus spoke, and may we love as Jesus loved, I ask, in our families, in our workplace, shopping, to our neighbors, in all places, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Guys, you're dismissed. Please pick up your kids. They're about to go nuclear.